From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the president will speak to Congress and the country tonight in his second State of the Union address. I last night joined a small group of conservative leaders at the White House for a discussion about the speech with the president and the vice president. I'll talk about that a little bit later in the program. But first, a defining moment on the U.S. Senate floor yesterday when Washington State Senator Patty Murray raised the Democratic Party's objections to a bill that would prevent infanticide.
Senator from Washington.
Mr. President, we have laws against infanticide in this country. This is a gross misinterpretation of the actual language of the bill that is being asked to be considered, and therefore I object.
Objection is heard.
Is that true? We'll talk about that. And we'll talk about the stark contrast between the two parties on this issue in just a moment. Also, history was made today in the Middle East as Pope Francis held a mass for nearly 150,000 people at the Abu Dhabi Zayed Sports City Stadium in the United Arab Emirates during the first ever visit by a pontiff to the Arabian Peninsula. Is this a promising sign of greater religious freedom in the Middle East? Well, we'll explore that question with Nina Shea with the Hudson Institute a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. Also going to be taking your phone calls a little bit later here on Washington Watch. All right, last night was quite a demonstration of the stark contrast between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. Republicans stood for life, for goodness, for humanity. And the Democrats, represented by Senator Patty Murray, that you just heard a few moments ago, stood for a culture of death, evil, and inhumanity. Now, this was something we pushed for in the wake of what happened in New York, the Democratic Party, which I'm going to go into in just a moment. I want to do a comparison of the party platforms. Now, you've heard us talk about this a fair amount, but I think it's very instructive, and this is one of the places that it's very instructive. But this came about as the New York State pushing their extreme abortion bill, followed by Virginia. And of course, we know how that's going. And so the Republicans offering by unanimous consent to push forward a Born Alive Infant Protection Act. Now, today's going to be a little educational. I want to fill in, kind of information. The Born Alive Infant Protection Act, there was a bill that was passed. Senator Murray making reference to that we have these statutes. Yes, we do. We have a definitional statement of born alive. But there's no enforcement provisions in federal law. And what we see happening in New York and elsewhere is that we see liberals pushing the envelope, essentially pushing us to the point of infanticide. As we played the clip last week, you've heard, I'm sure, no doubt, multiple times, Governor Northam's comments that suggest infanticide. So this bill that was on the Senate floor, already it had passed the House under the Republicans. In fact, it's made reference to in the Republican Party platform of 2016, which I was a part of drafting. They commended the House of Representatives for passing the Born Alive Protect. Let me just read from it, page 14 of the Republican Party platform. We applaud the U.S. House of Representatives for leading the effort to add enforcement. See, this is the second provision of Born Alive, the enforcement portion. Add enforcement to the Born Alive Infant Protection Act by passing the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which imposes appropriate civil and criminal penalties on health care providers who fail to provide treatment and care to an infant who survives an abortion, including early induction delivery, whether the death of the infant is intended. We strongly oppose infanticide. That's what this is. So this provision makes it a criminal offense to allow a born alive baby to be neglected. It requires that they be transported to a hospital and they be given the appropriate care. That's what the Republican Party, their platform says, and that's what the Senate attempted to do last night. Now, just file this away. Some people, and again, you've heard me say this before, but it doesn't hurt to say it again. These party platforms matter. In fact, on my website, TonyPerkins.com, we've got a document comparing some of the highlights on life and marriage and other issues, religious freedom, between the two parties. Go to TonyPerkins.com. There's a video there. There's also a publication. The Democratic Party, three-quarters of the time, they stick with the party platform. It defines who they are. And in this case, it certainly does. And the Republican Party, 89% of the time, that's over a period of about the last 20, 25 years, an analysis was done. These party platforms matter, and we see it. The Democratic Party has become the party of abortion. Now, here is Mitch McConnell yesterday as he opens this discussion about the Born Alive bill. This is what he had to say on the Senate floor.
I've been a co-sponsor of Senator Sasse's legislation. And I hope that none of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle invent any reasons to block this request later today. That would make quite a disturbing statement. If they do inexplicably block Senator Sasse's effort, I can assure them that this will not be the last time we try to ensure that all newborns are afforded this fundamental legal protection.
Now, Senator McConnell made that statement earlier yesterday before Senator Sasse went to the Senate floor asking for unanimous consent. Now, under the Senate rules, and again, this is something we've talked about in the past, you have to have 60 votes to move on to a bill. But if you have unanimous consent, you can move forward to it and you can have a discussion. Well, that's when Patty Murray stepped to the floor and said it was not necessary. Well, in fact, it is. And Senator Steve Daines, who is the chairman of the new Senate pro-life caucus, which I think he's going to be with us tomorrow talking about. This is what he had to say yesterday in the discussion over the Born Alive bill. This is, let's play cut two.
Last week, Governor Northam of Virginia gave chilling remarks that defended a law legalizing abortion to the point of birth and even after. I was asked by many what I thought about those words. The word evil comes to mind. These comments the governor made pull back the curtain on an extreme and dangerous abortion agenda that shows callous disregard for human life. What the Virginia governor is defending and what these ghoulish abortion up to birth laws enable is the free reign of brutal killers like Kermit Gosnell. Babies who survive the violence of an attempted abortion must not be subject to further violence or neglect.
Again, that was Senator Steve Daines, chairman of the Senate Pro-Life Caucus. Now, in responding to Patty Murray of Washington State, who said this bill wasn't necessary, the lead sponsor of the bill, Ben Sasse, had this to say. Clip four.
The bill that we're talking about before this body tonight is because New York already and Virginia, in debate, are having a conversation about removing exactly these protections. This debate is about infanticide and infanticide only, and this is a sad day for this body.
Now, Senator Josh Hawley, new senator from Missouri, who our political arm was very active in supporting because he is going to be a bright light. This is what he had to say regarding the Democrats' vision of infanticide. Clip number five.
Is this really what it has come to in the United States? Is this really the social vision of today's Democrat Party? Because frankly, I can't imagine a vision less just or less consistent with the goodness and compassion of the American people.
Well, Josh, I hate to tell you this, but this is the vision of the Democratic Party. And they lay it out in their 26-party platform. I mean, they're very clear about it. Now, they don't necessarily talk about as abortion. They like to talk about it as reproductive rights. But for instance, on page 28 of the 2016 party platform for the Democratic Party, about judges. Of course, that's where a lot of this begins. Roe v. Wade, We have it because of judges. We will appoint judges who defend the constitutional principles of liberty and equality for all. And we will protect a woman's right to safe and legal abortions. Curb billionaires' influence over elections. I guess that must be a footnote there. They won't touch George Soros. Because they understand the Citizens United has fundamentally damaged our democracy. They are very clear about their goal to protect and expand abortion. Now, here's Senator Lankford went to the Senate floor to put all of this in, I think, in perspective. This really is about more than abortion. Let's play clip six.
This is not about pro-life and pro-choice. This is pro-humanity. To get to the point that we're discussing whether a child lives or dies based on what they look like at birth, and if they don't quite look right, then we'll take that life, is inhumane and is beneath us as a society. And I cannot fathom a discussion that we're having on the floor of the United States Senate where a fully delivered child, we're going to discuss whether they're going to live or die.
That was Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma really putting this argument into context. Again, you have a clear contrast between the two parties. Now, it's interesting that when the law had no enforcement, the Democrats did not oppose unanimous consent on a previous bill years ago. But, of course, since they've taken a hard line on abortion, again, going back to their party's platform, which is the governing document for the party, on page 36 says, we will fight Republican efforts to roll back the clock on women's health and reproductive rights and stand up for Planned Parenthood. They go on to have a whole section about securing reproductive health. Democrats are committed to protecting and advancing reproductive health. Now, every time you hear that, that's abortion. They say that we believe unequivocally, like the majority of Americans, wrong, that every woman should have access to quality reproductive health care services, including safe and legal abortions, regardless where she lives, how much money she makes, or how she is insured. We believe that reproductive health care is core to women's, men's, and young people's health and well-being. We will continue to stand up to the Republicans' efforts to defund Planned Parenthood health centers, which provide critical health services to millions of people. We will continue to oppose and to seek to overturn federal and state laws and policies, listen to this, that impede a woman's access to abortion, including by repealing the Hyde Amendment. Folks, the Democratic Party is the party of death. Now, I'm not saying the Republican Party is perfect. Far from it. But you look at their policies, juxtapose the Democratic Party's positions. You can choose life or you can choose death. The choice is yours. All right, when we come back, history being made in the Middle East, the Pope holding a mass in the United Arab Emirates. Nina Shea is here to talk about it with the Hudson Institute. We'll discuss, is this new life for religious freedom in the Middle East? We'll talk about it. Don't go away.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, a little bit later, we're going to talk about the President's State of the Union address coming up to tonight. Maxine Waters doesn't want you to watch it, so we'll talk about it. All right, the Pope, Pope Francis, wrapping up 3 days in the United Arab Emirates today. Earlier today, they're 8 hours ahead of us. Holding a mass in Abu Dhabi, 150,000 people were there for that. First time in 1,000 years that we've had a pope there on the Arabian Peninsula. Big deal. Is this an opening for greater religious freedom and tolerance in the Middle East? Well, we're going to talk about that with Nina Shea. She is director of the Center for Religious Freedom at the Hudson Institute. And also a former member of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom and an expert on this issue of religious freedom. Nina, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great to be with you, Tony. Thank you.
So is this something to be excited about? Is this hold promise that maybe something's happening in the Middle East?
Well, I think it does. I think it's a very good sign. Certainly there are many problems persisting, but as you said, that there is this open air mass, liturgical celebration by the Catholic Pope. And that is significant because this sort of disregards a taboo that has been around since for, 1,300 years, that since the time of the Islamic prophet Muhammad, that you can't have more than one religion, that is Islam, on the Arabian Peninsula. Now, there have been churches in these countries, particularly since the discovery of oil, and with the British presence there, there was British colonialism, there were churches in places like Yemen. But to this day, Saudi Arabia has no churches. And the churches that exist tend to be very discreet. They're not allowed to have any outward signs of Christianity, no crosses, no bells, that kind of thing. And they worship on Fridays, which is the Muslim holy day, because they don't want to draw attention to themselves. So it's been very discreet. Now, this is very public, very high profile, red carpet treatment. The Pope was received by the Crown Prince and in the presidential palace. So this is a step forward. It shows, you know, respect for another religion is what it does. We're also seeing more churches being built. There are not enough in the UAE. There are enormous numbers of foreign workers, and that's very important to understand, is that right. The Christians who go to these churches are not natives. They're not nationals. They're not citizens of the countries. They are foreign workers. And there are actually many more. There are 90% of the UAE is a foreign workers population. Their right. nationals population is tiny. So the Christian population is a subset of that and rivals the number of nationals, about a million each. And in the UAE, they're mostly Catholic. And there are only 9 churches there for the Catholics. So that means 100,000 Catholics have to go to each church. So that becomes impossible, of course. And they, they allowed a new church to be built this year. And for the evangelicals, they are allowing hotel churches to accommodate the large number of evangelicals as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's been an issue with the hotel churches where they've been closing, kind of pushing them out. I was there just a few months ago, and there is a problem with some of the hotel meeting spaces. And it's very crowded, as you said. At one church I was in, 62 different congregations meeting in the same building. I mean, it looked like Grand Central Station with the board up front with the times of the different churches. But the UAE, clearly it's not on the same level when you look at how religious minorities are treated. But it is much different than what you see next door in Saudi Arabia.
Much different, and you have to see that context, the historical context, and also the context today with Saudi Arabia as their closest ally and neighbor. So this is done. That's the other significant piece of this, is that not only was this public and not, hidden in the shadows, but this was done with the blessing of Saudi Arabia. It would have had to have been. And so this is the fact of the administration, this fact of the great importance that this administration puts on religious freedom. They're eager to show that they, to the United States, that they are allied with the U.S. and share common values. I'm not sure about that, but at least they seem to be moving in the direction or making efforts to show that they will be tolerant of Christian and other religions. I mean, there's also Buddhists and Hindus and Sikhs. They have temples and in the UAE, not in Saudi Arabia. And they allowing some Jewish worship, again, in a hidden locale,
right.
Not in a synagogue. But, this is, baby steps, and hopefully it'll evolve, although since it's top down, Tony, this is not coming from a Magna Carta or a Bill of Rights. This is coming from the, the benign authoritarian leadership
right.
In the UAE. That it's all the more important we keep raising these issues with them and letting them know that we think it's very important. Aspect of our relationship is that
quickly, we're up against a break, but I have to believe that the Trump administration and their focus on religious freedom and their international policy has to be nudging them in this direction.
I believe that. I think it's been very beneficial. And again, these foreign workers are there in great numbers and don't have a secure place to pray in their own tradition. And that's not right. And so this is moving in the right direction, even if it's still a crime to convert
right.
and to choose your own religion if you're a national of the country.
Nina, always great to have you on the program. Thanks so much. Appreciate your passion for this issue of religious freedom.
Thanks for inviting me. Take
care. All right, Nina Shea, expert. She's got a number of books out there. She's a great great resource on this. All right, when we come back, I want to finish that conversation. Then I'm going to get into the President's State of the Union address that comes up tonight. Don't go away.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. All right, I want to finish a couple of thoughts we were just having with Nina Shea about the UAE. I mean, I think it's a I think she's absolutely right in that this is a moment where we should recognize this is a huge breakthrough, okay? When I was there a few months ago, I met with the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Zayed, and he is open. And I need to tell you this story. And if you get my update, you'll see it today in the update. There's a reason that they are more open in the UAE. His parents had lost a couple of children before he was born, and missionaries from the United States came there. To provide, they were medical missionaries, and they helped out, and so his father kind of indebted to them and grateful for what they offered, gave him one of their houses to turn into a hospital, so that it became a clinic to where they helped people, and so out of gratitude, this relationship of kind of tolerance, if you will, toward these Christian men. Missionaries, and while I was there, actually, this year in the UAE is the year of tolerance, but they have a new position, a minister of tolerance, and we met with him, and he was telling us more of the story, that some of the first oil proceeds that came from the UAE were used to actually build a church for these missionaries. Now, I say all that just to give some context here. Number one, why we should evangelize, why we should do humanitarian work, why work like that the Samaritan's Purse and others do is so important, because you build these relationships and doors open that allow the gospel to go out. Now, this is not a perfect setting. As Nina was saying, most of these individuals that attend these evangelical churches, Catholic churches, most, not all, but most are foreign workers. And by the way, you cannot become... for those who want to talk about immigration, you cannot become a citizen. It's a birthright citizenship. You have to be born there or have that connection to be. You can't just walk in and apply for citizenship. It doesn't work that way. So they have no voting rights, even though they're the majority of the population. But this, I think we need to be very discerning as we look at these opportunities that are opening. But I would say, as Nina said on the way out, the Trump administration, and we're going to talk about this in just a moment, the Trump administration's focus on religious freedom in its international policy and its foreign policy is what's opening the door here. I've heard it with my own ears as I have sat down with these leaders. They know this is important to this administration, and so the door is opening. Now, we cannot be naive in thinking that this door will be open forever and it'll be open to the extent that we want, but I think we should take full advantage of this opportunity as it's here. All right. Okay. The president tonight will be speaking to the nation as he gives his second State of the Union address. Now, not everybody wants you to listen to it. Here is our favorite Congresswoman, Maxine Waters. Here's what she had to say about the president's speech tonight.
The State of the Union has been good, and he has been divided. I don't even know why he wants to come and give the State of the Union. The State of the Union under him has not been good, and he has been divisive. And I think he's putting us all in harm's way. And so he is not worthy of being listened to. I don't know why anybody want to pay attention to anything that he has to say. He lies over and over again. Like I said, 6,000 lies have been documented since he's been there. I just can't imagine what he's going to try and say. But since he is a great liar, he'll say anything because he's capable of saying anything without facts, without research. And so I'm not looking forward to his State of the Union. And I hope that people will turn the television off.
Well, are you going to turn the television off or are you going to watch? I suggest you watch. We're going to talk about that. That's actually going to be the question I'm going to ask you in just a moment. We'll open up the phone lines. Are you going to watch the president's speech or are you going to take Maxine Waters' advice? Look, last night I had the opportunity. I was invited to go to the White House with maybe a couple of dozen conservative leaders to actually meet with the president's staff, the president and the vice president, and discuss the kind of the themes of the president's speech. And, you know, it was a very good time of interaction. But I think the president is going to cast a kind of a vision for the nation about choosing greatness. I mean, he's going to go through a list of the things that they've accomplished and quite frankly, have accomplished a lot. I mean, if you look at it, almost 4 million jobs have been created since his election. More Americans are now employed than ever recorded before in our history. We've created more than 400,000 manufacturing jobs. That's just on the economic issues. Economic growth in the last quarter of last year, 4.2%. New unemployment, record low. I mean, economically, things are moving. But also, when you look at the moral and the social issues, I can say this without hesitation, most pro-life president in my lifetime, since Roe v. Wade. Religious freedom, doing more to expand it here and abroad. More about this on the other side of the break, and I'm going to be taking your phone calls about whether or not you're going to take Maxine's advice and tune out, or you're going to tune in and hear the president circumvent the media and bring his message to the American people. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. More to come.
The world on our horizon is like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com, some resources up there for you. And by the way, I put these things up here not just for your benefit, but for your friends, because this is the kind of stuff you can use to have conversations with people. It's, you know, it's one thing just to make a statement. It's another thing to back it up with the facts. And there has never been a clearer contrast between the two major political parties than there is today. And you can see it in the party platforms. And let me repeat myself, the politicians actually follow these platforms. Now, not word for word, step by step, but three quarters of the time, the Democratic Party, what they do is in the party platform. So we shouldn't be fooled. I mean, essentially, these platforms are telling the American people what the parties plan to do. Same thing's true of the Republicans, although they actually follow it more than the Democrats. 89% of the time, they follow it. Now, if you're a pro-life, pro-family, pro-religious freedom American, then you're excited about that, because that's exactly what the Republicans say they're going to do. And that would mean that you're very worried about the Democratic Party platform, because it is the exact opposite, and it's right there in black and white for you. But to make it easier, we've kind of extracted the key points, and they're in one publication. Go to TonyPerkins.com, and it's right there for you. Also, as we're seeing more and more, like yesterday with the Born Alive Infant Protection Act vote there on the Senate floor, we send out alerts, and the best way to get those is through our app, the Stand Firm app. You can get it at the App Store, or you can go to TonyPerkins.com and download it. That way you are up to speed with the latest information and the tools in your fingertips to contact your members of Congress to weigh in on these critical issues. Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines here in just a moment, 866-372-7234. Maxine Waters does not want you to listen to the president tonight. She wants you to tune him out. By the way, in the conversation yesterday at the White House, anticipating that the media is going to, you know, challenge the president. They like to do this. They throw out these things saying, we fact-checked, he gets three Pinocchios or whatever. They have footnoted everything the president is saying tonight. It is fact-checked, and they're going to push back on this. But the media, you know, they make those statements, and then a few days later they acknowledge the president was right. So this is an opportunity when the president does his State of the Union. That's one of the few opportunities that he has to go directly to the American people and speak to them for about 90 minutes. The whole thing's about 90 minutes, and he can speak directly to them, unfiltered by the media. And I think he's going to cast, a vision of choosing to be a great nation. And I do believe he's also, I think he's going to bring up the issue of the contrast between the two parties on the life issue. Now, I don't know how aggressive he'll get on this, because he said this is to be a unifying speech, not unifying with those here in Washington that want to that really despise America and want to trip up the administration and everything they try to do. I think you're talking about unity. It's unity with the American people. For instance, on this infanticide, only 13% of Americans agree with the Democratic Party on this, by the way. And the president, he gets this. I'm telling you, this president may have not have been years ago, but this president is solidly pro-life. And I can tell from the conversations that we have with him and the statements that he makes publicly. They're his own words. They're not something that somebody put into a teleprompter. They're his. So he's going to go through a list of the accomplishments of what's been, what's happened here in the first quarter, hopefully first quarter of his two terms, and then he's going to kind of lay out that vision for America. And I would encourage you to listen, be prepared, and have conversations with your friends and family over the next few days about this. In fact, following the State of the Union, I will be doing a Facebook Live event actually out on the Mall in front of the Capitol. We'll be kind of have some of the experts will be talking about some of the issues that come up in the speech and talking about that as the Democrats do their own analysis. All right, we're going to go to the phones, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And let's go to Lincoln, Nebraska, where Lance is on the line. Lance, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. Hey, thanks, Tony, for having me on. And thanks for the reminder on the party platform, because that is really important, like you've been talking about. So also, you don't really believe your listeners are going to listen to Maxine, do you?
No, it's a good comic relief.
I definitely am not going to listen to Maxine, and I don't trust Maxine at all. So, yes, I'm going to watch the State of the Union, and I'm looking forward to listening to that. And, you know, I think Trump has lied about things, but it's pretty disingenuous and double standards, hypocritical for Maxine to talk about Trump lying, and she's not talking about Obama or Hillary or herself or Cory Booker and all these other leaders and things they say that aren't true or half truths. So, you know, that's pretty, I don't give anything she says much credibility at all.
Yeah. And I would add to that, Lance, I don't give the media, the fact checkers in the media, much credibility either, because they have their own agenda. I mean, it's funny. You have like the Washington Post that gives their Pinocchios. I mean, when did they get the truth right? I mean, come on.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't trust the media, the mainline media, much at all either. So yeah, we have to do our homework, and I don't trust those entities much at all.
That's exactly right, Lance. We have to be discerning, and even when you listen to anybody. I mean, I encourage people to be discerning when they listen to me. I read the emails that I get back from people who might challenge something, and if I'm wrong, I'm going to admit it. I mean, Paul actually said that. He said, he commended the Bereans because they looked through the scripture to see if what he was saying was true. So I don't think
Absolutely.
We should take anything at face value. I mean, I'm not saying we're skeptical of everybody and everything, but we should be
right.
discerning.
Yes. Yes. And thank you, Tony, for your leadership and everything you're doing. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Lance. Appreciate you calling in. Let's go to Lenny in Houston, Texas. Lenny, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to remind everyone, it definitely is a spiritual war. And Saul Alinsky, everybody's following the rules for radicals in the Democratic Party. And we want to keep on reminding each other that. I mean, their whole game plan is to continually tell lies until people believe them. Even Republicans sometimes talk like there's, you know, real Russian interference when we know good and well the voter fraud is huge, and you know any Russian collusion was done by Clinton.
Right.
So.
Right.
We just want to keep reiterating that because they keep on repeating these lies. Other thing, Victor Davis Hanson brought up a good thing when he's talking about what caused the original Civil War, and the Democratic South felt they were morally superior, and that fueled their hatred for the North. I mean, you know, really the grassroots people, they had no vested interest in slaves, right? So you always wonder, how did that really happen? And he points out that there was a huge hatred, and the Democrats, here again, Democrats felt they were morally superior. Look at the similarities we've got going right now. It's pretty alarming.
It's interesting. It is definitely interesting. Lenny, thanks so much for the call. And Lenny mentioned the book Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky. I don't know how many of you have read that book. It's not a big book. It's fairly easy read, but he is right. And that these, I almost think it's like, you know, we've got the moral law of God. I mean, this is almost the unwritten law of the dark side. In fact, and check this out. You don't need to buy a copy. I think you can find it online or go to the library and look at it. But Saul Alinsky dedicates his book, and it's in the very beginning of the book, he dedicates the book to the first radical, Satan. It's true. It's in the book. Look at it. All right, let's go to Bob in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Bob, welcome to Washington Watch.
All right, thanks for taking my call. I was just remembering when Phyllis Schlafly cut down the Equal Rights Amendment that they trying to pass now years ago, but she was very prophetic in the things that she would say, that she said. Yeah, and still the left still managed to pass marriage between two men, same-sex marriage, and a lot of accomplished a whole lot of other things using these activist judges. And I read Saul Alinsky, but we also need to read Animal Farm. It is quite a correlation between today and also when he trade that. The Democrats seem to be projecting when they say something wrong with that doing, and they dare talk about, they use morality like words, like they're trying the most immoral side of life than anyone else. That's all I had to say.
Well, thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. Also, I would throw in there, if you want to read 1984, because it's Orwellian, what we see occurring today. By the way, tomorrow we're going to have a special webcast here at the Family Research Council on China. Bob Fu with China Aid is going to be here. Travis Weber. That'll be at 3 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. So tune into that. Might have some clips for you in tomorrow's program. But if you can watch that, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com or FRC.org. All right, we're going to work in a few more calls here. Let's go to Vicki in Missouri. Vicki, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I was going to say I am definitely going to be watching tonight because he's our president and we have to give him the respect in his authority. So I feel like whether you voted for him or not, he's our president, and he is talking about our United States. So for her to say, you know, it doesn't matter to her, she's in the wrong job then because she's representing people. And, again, whether her people voted for him or not, it's respect. And I think that's really what it boils down to of why I'm going to be watching him. It's respect out of him as the presidency.
All right, Vicki, thanks so much for the call. And in fact, it was discussed yesterday. I think there's just like a handful of Democrats that are not going to show up to the State of the Union. Remember, I think it was last year they had, I don't know, it was several of them that didn't come and avoided the State of the Union address. But this time, I think just a handful because, I mean, look, the president, he's connecting with people. In fact, the media is lamenting his poll numbers. They haven't really moved. I mean, he's still, despite, you know, all of the hits he took over the, you know, the government shutdown that the Democrats led because they wouldn't secure our southern border, which, by the way, he's going to talk about tonight. And I think he's done really well at this. In fact, I had shared this with him a couple of weeks ago when I was in the White House discussing the shutdown and the immigration, illegal immigration issue. I think the president is right to do this, and he's doing it very well. And that is talking about the humanitarian crisis that's been created on our southern border. I mean, when you look at the opioid epidemic, there was just, I forget exactly where it was last week, I think, where there was a huge shipment of these drugs found, enough to kill millions of people. And there's also the human trafficking. We've talked about that on the program before. I've spoken to Homeland Security agents that are working these trafficking rings and breaking them up. This is significant stuff, and the president's going to address that tonight as well. All right, I'm going to work another call here. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for all you do. Yeah, Maxine Waters is lost. She wants to count lies. She can start with counting the lies in the Democratic Party and the Department of Justice. I don't know of any time that President Trump's deliberately lied to the American people. I know he's had a few missteps and a few mistakes. But I hope that he focuses on his accomplishments and the border security and the national security. And I think the people support him on national security. The main thing, too, is pro-life. Yeah. Like you mentioned, 87% of Americans are pro-life against the infanticide that the liberals are pushing. So I think if he sticks with that, I think he'll be very successful. And thanks again for all you do.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you being a faithful listener, Joe. In Ohio. Yeah, I think the president is going to address the life issue. I fully anticipate that he will because it's really a passion that he has. I saw it yesterday when we were discussing it. He was talking about what was taking place in Virginia and how atrocious that was. So listen, watch, and share. You want to look, this administration and all the good that they're doing, are they perfect? No. But they're good. They're certainly doing a lot of good things. You need to be equipped to tell your friends and push back against the left and the media. All right, tune in tonight. We'll be talking about that on Facebook or on the website, TonyPerkins.com. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.